You should don't turn on that. Okay, microphone. Well, let's start with chanting Hare Krishna and see if we get anywhere after that. We don't have so much time, which is not good. At least Gaur Aarti. As before chanting, I'll preface that you're all professionals here, people who have spent a lot of time, energy, money to develop a profession. What's going on?
Nima is looking for something.
Nima, you're giving us a cold in the meantime. And yet at the same time, I think I'm correct in saying that everyone here wants to be Krishna conscious. Who wants to be Krishna conscious? Someone doesn't want to be Krishna conscious, but yeah. Hare Krishna. We also need to put in time and energy and money into being Krishna conscious. This temple is here for that purpose. It's maintained with a lot of time, energy, and a lot of money, right, Prana?
Yeah.
Not enough. And Radha Gokulananda are here. They're Radha Gokulananda. They're not deities. They're personally present here, Radha and Krishna. And we're worshipping them at a relatively very modest standard. We need to help raise their standard. They should be getting offerings every half an hour. Srila Prabhupada says in a lecture that we should be changing their clothes 4 times a day. You see, their crowns are gold jari. They should actually be solid gold, and their necklaces should be diamonds. Now, you've all got gold and diamonds, and they don't. Right? But they deserve it, because you may have noticed that they are the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and you're not. So there's still a long way to go before this temple, which is, I always think of it as Arjuna's chariot. You know, when the war was over and Arjuna, Krishna told Arjuna, get off the chariot. Out of respect, Arjuna wanted Krishna to get off the chariot, and he would be the last. He says, no, you get off first. So Arjuna got off. And Krishna got off. As soon as Krishna got off, the chariot went up in flames. So all the arrows that entered into the chariot, that it was just so loaded with Shakti, with Kshatriya Shakti, that it blew up in flames. The only reason it didn't was that Krishna was standing on it, and that kept it functional. So for me, Bhaktivedanta Manor is also like that. This is a private residence. At least it was someone's private residence. It was designed like that. Right now, it gets so much use. It renders so much service on their lordship's behalf. There's so many people come here. There's prasadam being served. There's phenomenal traffic that's going through here. That if those deities walked out, this place would go up in flames with all the energy that it's absorbing. Anyway, hopefully they're not going anywhere. But as Radha and Krishna are present here, similarly, they're also present within our hearts. And wherever they are, that is called Vrindavan. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in his ecstasy after taking sannyas was wandering in Bengal and he came across the Ganges River. He saw Advaita Acharya. Lord Nityananda had tricked him to go to Shantipur. So he said, Advaita, are you here? You're in Vrindavan too. He says, how come you came here? He says, yes, I'm also here. And he says, but wherever you are, that's Vrindavan. So the sum and substance of this book, Navabraja Mahima, is that, for instance, are what we call Bhaktivedanta Manor. Srila Prabhupada didn't call it Bhaktivedanta Manor, he called it New Gokula. That this is Gokula, Gokulananda, so it makes sense that this is Gokula, New Gokula. And that means that Gokula is a generic name for all of Braj, for all the 12 forests of Vrindavan. So the property that you see here, this is all Vrindavan. Radha Gokulananda enact pastimes. They're on the altar, simultaneously they're off the altar. And they're also engaging in different pastimes. And if we have the proper vision, devotion, and desire, and if we put time and energy into our Krishna consciousness, then ultimately we can see them on the grounds of Bhaktivedanta Manor, we can also see them within our hearts, we can see them within our homes. But Radha Gokulananda are very famous, not just in Watford or in this part of the UK, but actually throughout the UK, people consider their Ishtadeva, their worshipable deities. And a worshipable deity, of course, is someone whom one always thinks about and meditates. So how do we think about Krishna? What does it mean to think about Krishna? Nama, guna, rupa, lila, dham. We think about these things, and specifically when Krishna appeared 5,000 years ago, he manifests his pastimes here on earth. The most authentic or authorized, is that a must? Opening the window? Or can we open it a little later? Just, I'm sorry, you know, I get colds really easily. When Krishna appeared 5,000 years ago, he came to manifest his form and his pastimes and qualities so that we become attracted to go back home, back to Godhead. The most authoritative description of those pastimes is Srimad Bhagavatam. And however, although Bhagavatam is most authoritative, nonetheless, Krishna's pastimes are unlimited, and Bhagavatam in terms of its, there is 92 chapters of Krishna's pastimes, they're limited. There's so many shlokas. So for that reason, our acharyas, our Srila Prabhupada has written many, many books, and Prabhupada has also told his followers. By followers, I don't mean disciples. I mean followers, all of Srila Prabhupada's followers, to also write in glorification of Krishna, because when we read those glorification of Krishna, then they make an impression in our heart. It helps us to remember our Ishtadevas, and it helps to reawaken and to bring Vrindavan back into our hearts. And that's what it means to be Krishna conscious. But it really requires work. It's not going to happen. Just like none of you are going to be or became professionals just by believing in it. I believe in being a lawyer. But the Bar Association couldn't care less what you believe in. Unless you actually pass the bar exam, you're not going to be a lawyer. Similarly, if you want to be a surgeon, yesterday I was talking to one of our surgeons, you know, you have to do more than just believe in it. You have to actually go to medical school, and it's a long, arduous process. So all of these things, everything we have to really apply ourselves to. So what to speak of being Krishna conscious? It's not enough just to believe in Krishna. It's not enough just to take darshan. It's not enough just to put a donation in the box. It really requires work. And we need to make time for that. If we don't make time, then one day we're really going to run out of time. And that's called death. And then there is no more time. So we need to take advantage of that. And that is why Srila Prabhupada stayed up so long to read, to write his books. So if we have little time, then we should only read Srila Prabhupada's books. But if you have any more time, then you should also read other books. Prabhupada's books are the most important, and they're the primary literature that all of our devotees should read, study, memorize, and then if you have other time, in other words, if you put aside your television, or better than putting it aside, if you just throw it away, then you'll find lots of time. And you'll be able to read other transcendental literature as well. So that these pastimes then live in our hearts, and that way we learn to live with Krishna. We're celebrating this Damodarashtakam, this very wonderful, extraordinary pastime. When do we sing Damodarashtakam, by the way?
Nine.
Where Krishna, as a little baby, was bound by Mother Yashoda. Nanda Maharaj came to untie Krishna. Well, after the trees fell over, it was a thunderous sound. Everyone knew these trees. They had been there for a long time. And these two Arjuna trees, Nalakuvera, Manigriva, and when Krishna pulled them over, then for a minute everyone was in shock, and then they saw that the trees had fallen down. Gokula or Nanda Maharaj's palace was on a hill, so when you look down the hill, then the trees were there on the bank of the Jamuna, and now they were sorely absent. They had been toppled over. So everyone came running in that direction. Everyone except Mother Yashoda. She started to come. And Nanda Maharaj was not far away. He was one of the first to arrive. And the cowherd boys were there, Krishna's little friends. And Krishna was still tied to the trees. He was still tied to the mortar. So they asked him, what happened? Cowherd boys said, this is what happened, that Krishna was pulling the mortar. Mother Yashoda tied Krishna to the mortar, and Krishna was pulling the mortar down the hill. It got stuck between the trees. It pulled the trees over, and these two effulgent men came out, and they started to offer all the prayers. So at that point, Nanda Maharaj thought, now they're making this up. This is all just sort of a little what the cowherd boys are adding to this. But it was obvious that Krishna was tied to the mortar. So that part he accepted. And then Krishna started to cry. And when Krishna started to cry, then Nanda Maharaj untied him. Just like we are aware of the great significance of the fact that Mother Yashoda tied Krishna. Only Mother Yashoda could tie Krishna, because only she had that type of love to tie him. Anyone else who came of the Brijbasis, they would not be able to untie him. It was only someone who had a love equal to Mother Yashoda's, namely Nanda Maharaj, who was able to actually untie him. And then Nanda Maharaj took Krishna and Balaram, and they bathed in the Jamuna in order to free them from the inauspicious situation. And then they also bathed them in cow urine and cow dung. Question, who bathes their children in cow urine and cow dung? Who would? Why not? You're reading about it, they're doing it to Krishna. Don't you think that it's purifying and sanctifying? And we're talking about, we're followers of the principle of cow protection. Even Gandhiji used to drink cow urine, amongst other notable persons. So this is repeated over and again in Bhagavatam, that every time something bad happens to Krishna, or something imminently or almost bad happened to Krishna, then Mother Yashoda washes him with cow urine, with cow dung. They flash him with the tail of a cow, and also chant, ask the Brahmins to chant mantras. This is our religion. This is our dharma. Now, the health officials wouldn't look kindly on that. But nonetheless, I bathe. I take cow dung bath regularly, 3-4 times a year. You get very squeaky clean. You should try it. It's very good. If it's good enough for God, isn't it good enough for us? Madhu. And then just Krishna went back. Nanda Maharaj took Krishna back to the palace, and Mother Yashoda had heard from her friends and saw the danger that she had actually put Krishna into. So she was really mortified. On the other hand, Krishna, you know, children sometimes take advantage of the fact that their parents make a mistake. And so Krishna wouldn't talk to her. And he wouldn't look at her. And that even made things worse. Mother Yashoda just locked herself up in her room. And she wouldn't come out. And Nanda Maharaj says, "Well, what are you going to eat? And what are you going to drink? What milk are you going to drink?" And Krishna said, "You just give me milk from the cows and sweeten it with sugar and I'll drink that." So, all right. And Nanda Maharaj was feeding Krishna and Balaram. And this was going on for 3 days. And Mother Yashoda wouldn't eat, wouldn't drink. She was crying. She was laying on her bed. Krishna refused to talk to her. Krishna refused to see her. And she was already feeling bad, but that really made her feel very, very bad. So finally, Nanda Maharaj figured he would use some negative psychology. And in the evening, he was sitting on the throne with Krishna and Balaram on his lap. And there were some other senior cowherd men, and he said, "I've made my decision to punish my wife for what she has done. She should be beaten with a stick." And when Krishna heard that, he said, no, you can't do that. And Manuraj said, "Yes, she must be beaten." He said, "No." And then Krishna ran into the door to his mother to protect her. And Manuraj says, "I'm going to beat her with a stick." And Krishna, "No, you're not." And then he ran in and jumped on Mother Yashoda. And he said, "No, you can't." So Manuraj said, "All right." Anyway, finally they were united. And then they were very happy. So you can see there's some part of the pastime is there. This part of the pastime is in Bhagavatam, Dhammadharashtaka, up until the untying. And then Jiva Goswami tells this other part in his Gopal Champu. And then there are details here and details there. It's Vyasadev, he makes like a jigsaw puzzle out of Krishna's pastimes. And he puts some in this Purana and some in that Purana. And some in this Purana. And then you have to read all these and try and actually put them together. They make nice reading however you go, but then they become more and more full. And ultimately they're unlimited. So anyway, once again, Krishna and Mother Yashoda were on good terms. They're always on good terms. But this was sort of Krishna's pastime. And by that, it increased Mother Yashoda's love for him. That's what Krishna is always trying to do. He's always trying to increase our love for him, even for his eternal associates. Hare Krishna.